this week's edition of the Pop Buzz Podcast, your number one destination for all the latest music news and all that's been good on the internet. I'm your host, James. Joining me as ever are the rest of the Pop Buzz team. Katie's here. Say hello, Katie.
Hi.
And Woody's here. Say hello, Woody.
Hello.
Lovely to see you. Now, our guest this week, a very exciting one, actually, Camila Cabello. Yes, I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Good.
I've been practicing that one, I must admit. She popped by the studio, which was lovely. We had a very nice chat with her. She dished all the dirt. She's working with Ed Sheeran lately and all this kind of stuff. Really interesting things about all life after Fifth Harmony and all the solo stuff. And then we did something which we should do more of, really, because in this lovely building we have here, every time there's a major star here, there's always a pack of teenagers outside just waiting with bated breath for them to come out and say hello to them.
Yeah, it's very intimidating sometimes.
It's like it's a bit West Side Story, isn't it? There's a reference you'll love. It's a bit West Side Story. Little gangs gathered outside. But yeah, so we went outside and got some questions from them as well, which is really nice. So we've got our questions, we've got fan questions all coming up a little bit later on. But first, it's time to kick things off as we always do with the week's biggest stories in WTF News.
What the f*** is happening in the news?
First up, the latest meme to hit us all in 2017, and it's amused me no end. So some of you may remember a Australian, I believe it is, Australian horror film called The Babadook. It was around a few years back. And now, thanks to a slight error online where it was listed, it was on Netflix, wasn't it? It was listed on Netflix as being part of the LGBT section, is that it?
Inexplicably, it changed.
And yet, everyone's got on board with this now.
Yeah.
So someone noticed it online, turned it into a meme, and
It kind of started on Tumblr. Someone noticed it, wrote a little kind of post about how Babadook was actually, in fact, an LGBT icon.
Yeah.
And it just snowballed from there, really. I mean, I've seen it, Babadook photoshopped into RuPaul. There's been Babadooks at Pride. I've seen
Babadooks at Pride.
People are dressing up as Babadook and like appearing at Pride and doing twerking. Like, it is gone
massive. That is next level effort right there.
There's even some new glossary terms. Would you like to hear them?
I would love to hear a few terms.
We got Babashook. You know, pretty good. Babussy.
Right.
And Baba Culture, which is kind of my favourite.
Baba Culture.
Yeah,
were you aware of the Babadook beforehand, you guys?
I've never seen it. I don't know what it is, but I'm intrigued. I love it.
Yeah, I feel like it was just like an Australian thing.
I remember it came out. I know two things about it. One, it's about like a creepy, if I remember this rightly, a creepy kid's book. And it's like a drawn animated character in this kid's book. It's like a kid's scary horror story, and then it comes to life. I think that's the gist of it. But then the other thing I remember is mates of mine who'd seen it doing the constant impression where it basically sounds like Babadook.
Well, that's
Babadook. That's the voice. And I think it only says Babadook. Is that correct? Have we seen this in the memes?
I think so, yeah. That from what the edits that I've seen.
It's just Babadook. But which is Babadook language for Yas Queen, as we've discovered in the last week or so.
I don't know why this is such a new thing, because there's actually, like, it's common knowledge that LGBTQ actually is all Babadook.
Yeah,
right.
I'll read them to you if you want.
Okay, please do.
L stands for, look, it's the Babadook.
Very good.
G is great news, the Babadook's here. B is Babashook, which Woody said earlier.
Of course.
T is, there's a Babadook, it's flawless. And Q is, quick, the Babadook.
Quick, the Babadook, run, because it's going to kill you, but in a fabulous way.
You know, some people haven't taken to Babadook very kindly.
There's been some Baba backlash.
There has been.
Okay.
Some people feel like Babadook is actually taking away from real gay icons.
Right, okay.
You know, it's like a distraction, doesn't deserve it. The only thing I can say is Babadook is a real gay icon. Like, shut up.
Well, this is what I was going to ask. Will it last? Is it going to just be a Pride Month fad, this one? You know, are we going to find a new icon next year? Or is Babadook here to stay every Pride all year round? A full LGBTQ icon.
Once the gays adopt you, once you're in with the gays, that's it forever.
Set for
honestly, ask Madonna. For real.
Madonna and Babadook have always been on the level, haven't they? Let's be real.
We're very loyal people.
Have you ever
people.
Seen them in the same room?
Oh my God. We're through the looking glass now.
Oh my God.
Exclusive.
Are you saying
Madonna's the Babadook? Yes.
I see it. Right, there's your next meme challenge, kids. If you're listening, God. We want to see the Babadook put into the Bitch I'm Madonna video.
They don't know what Photoshopped Madonna looks like.
Like the Babadook, obviously. All right, well, that's definitely been our favourite story of the week. But this is another very interesting one that I feel like has been building for a while. So, Cole Sprouse. Are you familiar with Cole Sprouse, guys? Are you familiar with his work?
I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe.
Vaguely. Obviously, Jughead and Riverdale and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. What a classic. But yeah, actor, and he's also a part-time photographer. He enjoys a bit of photography in his spare time. Likes to post his photos online, don't we all? But we've recently noticed that a lot of fans, primarily of Riverdale, have been taking some of his photos and putting them on merch and kind of profiting from that. Is this mainly on Redbubble, right, Katie? Is that where it's kind of coming from?
Yeah, well, you know, as one does, I was just searching KJ Apa.
Of course.
And I came across some items on Redbubble. And I noticed the photos were from Cole's Instagram account and from his behind-the-scenes photos of Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously belong to him. Yeah. And people are profiting and selling them online.
Yeah, kicking off about it.
Bit crazy.
So it's tricky, isn't it?
Which one did you buy then?
full shopping spree online, obviously. She's making them, mate. This is how we know the story exclusively. It is interesting though, isn't it? Because where do you kind of draw the line, really? You can understand a lot of these people are probably genuine fans and they think, hey, let's make this cool product for genuine fans. But yeah, that is something that they did not take that image and, you know, money's exchanging hands. Where's the line really with it?
Yeah, it does. Because part of me, you know, goes, well, I'm sure he's got plenty of money. He'll be fine. But no, at the end of the day,
there's a principle.
It's his, you know, it's his artwork.
Yeah.
It's what he's put his time and effort into.
And there's like other photographers on there as well. There's pictures of Cole that have been taken by other people as well that are being sold.
Just Getty images with logos slapped across.
They don't belong to you, sweetheart.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a problem that's been building for a while as well, because I feel like there's the two sides of this. There's Etsy merch, which tends to be homemade stuff by fans, like people doing actual artwork and drawings or stitching stuff. And, you know, there's loads of kind of really, really nice creative aspect there, whereas Redbubble tend to let a lot more stuff slide. Yeah. By the looks of it, I may be wrong, I'm happy to be corrected, but it does look like a lot of those images do tend to be from elsewhere. And maybe the people who are doing it don't realise, I don't know, but you can understand them being annoyed, I think.
I think that's a fair analysis.
A fair
James.
Analysis. Pop Buzz leading Britain's conversation about Redbubble and Cole Sprouse.
Not gonna lie though, I think some of the items look really good. Cole should like step on that like soon.
Make his own
merch.
I think it's only a matter of time before each of the Riverdale cast has their own personal merch line. Really, let's be honest. I could see, you know, KJ Apa in particular, we know at least one customer in the room, so there we go. It's gonna work very nicely. All right, well let's move.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's move on to the final news story that's been all over every single TV station. Yes, it's time for the hopefully final edition of Snaps or Craps, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez. Let's wrap up this election coverage once and for all. So,
before we start, I was listening to... I listened to the last episode.
No.
And
of your own podcast.
Of my own podcast.
Never.
And I was correct. My prediction was... We all sat here and we all made a prediction of what was going to happen.
Remind me what your prediction
and
was.
And I said a hung parliament.
Oh, okay. I think you more worded it like, there'll be chaos in the streets, which I would gather is also true, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I meant obviously a coalition of chaos, and I was kind of right.
Oh, very good. I mean, yeah, in case you somehow missed it, yes, it was an inconclusive result. There was no overwhelming majority, so basically people are going to have to team up if they want to make it all work in the government.
Yeah, so what do I win?
I mean, what do any of us win in this situation?
You get to be the Prime Minister.
At this point, Theresa.
That may be as well how it works. Well, this is the other thing, basically. Without getting too much into nitty-gritty of stats and all that kind of slightly dull material, the long and short of it is we may be doing another election later this year. I don't know if I can cope with another six editions of Snaps or Crabs, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, look, how do we feel about that, first of all? Like, can we all handle another election season? I feel drained after this one. Katie, what do you think? Can you handle it?
No.
Okay.
I would rather live through House of Cards. I'm just joking.
We sort of are.
I'm kidding.
But why? What is it that you don't like?
Oh, it's just everywhere, isn't it? Just go away.
You can't
I've had
escape.
Enough of the elections. Just someone do something.
That would
what
be
I'm
nice,
saying.
Wouldn't it?
Just someone do something.
We are back on Pop Buzz, guys. Our guest today, one of the biggest music superstars in the world right now. The new single is Crying in the Club. Ladies and gentlemen, Camila Cabello is here, everybody.
Yay.
Great to see you.
Thank you for that intro.
Oh, always. Ooh. Always going to hype you up, you know
that.
It
feels so cool.
Oh, good stuff. Welcome back to London, first of all.
You.
Lovely
thank
to see you. Like we say, the single is Crying in the Club.
Yes.
Let's get the plugging in first off, shall we? Tell me about the track.
Let's
How did
plug.
It come about? Let's plug away. How did it come about? Go for it.
Okay, so basically my album was called The Hurting, The Healing, The Loving, and I was like 2 months in to writing for it, and I had that question song that I have out. I had that written and a bunch of songs written. And so basically my friend Benny Blanco, who produced Crying in the Club, he and I have been friends for a really long time, and he invited me over to the studio for some hangs.
Nice. Ooh.
And I basically played him like all my music, and he was like, okay. And then a week later he called me and he was like, oh my God, I have this song that I have to show you. And he sent me the demo of Crying in the Club with C on it. And I was like, and I just knew that I had to have it. And
amazing.
I knew that, you know, it was just like a perfect piece of the puzzle, because to me that sounded like the healing part of the album. And so basically they didn't have a bridge, so I wrote the bridge, and that's how that song came together. And I knew that I wanted, I had an idea for the visual to summarize The Hurting, The Healing, The Loving. And
nice.
I knew that it would make a really cool, like, big performance, which I thought was awesome because I can hair flip to that song.
That's what we always want.
The whole Billboard thing was like,
oh, thank you.
Screaming.
Oh,
it was so good.
Yeah, thank you.
I was crapping my pants.
Oh, you must have been delighted, though, coming off the back of that. Absolutely.
Oh, no. It was amazing.
Huge.
It was so much fun.
Awesome.
But, you know, it was crazy. That was the first time that I'd performed by myself as a solo artist, and that was the first time that I'd performed that song. And it was in front of just, like, everybody that I love, like,
well, yeah,
Drake
sure.
could have been sitting
yeah.
there, which
well,
is
oh god
terrifying.
I mean, yeah, yeah, anytime you're in
you
front of Drake,
I mean?
That's gonna freak you out a little bit. I respect that, I get that one. But I was gonna ask as well, because obviously, like you say, it is first time out there on your own. Is there anything that's kind of surprised you now that you're out there on your own? Any kind of things you weren't expecting to pop up that suddenly, like, oh yeah, I need to think about that this time? Any kind of new things popping up for you?
New things popping up, I feel like it's just the fact that I feel like I have to, things move so quickly, especially in this stage where it's like the songs are coming out and this and that, that I feel like I just know that I have to pay attention to like every detail, because sometimes even if you take like 4 hours away from your phone, like there's stuff that
it's like, gonna blow up.
There's like decisions that need to be made constantly, and
sure.
it's like you can't forget that that's gonna come out into the world, so you have to pay attention.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So
you seem like you're on it, though. I always
yeah.
always feel like, yeah, you're on it. You know what's up. You're taking care of business. It's
thanks.
Good.
That's
good stuff.
So there's a lot of collabs on the album. We've had a few. But the big one, Mr. Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
He's written that song for you, The Boy. Did you meet him at all? Or like,
oh my God,
what's he
yeah.
like to work with?
Yeah. Well, I met him for the first time a long time ago. I was a fetus. literally. At the VMAs.
Long time back.
I was just
okay.
a fetus walking around. But I met him for the first time there. And basically, when Fifth Harmony and I were on the show on X Factor, well, actually, after we were on the show, we had this like week of covers where one girl would pick a cover that represented her musical influences or her favorite artist or whatever. So I chose Lego House by Ed. And he saw it and he was like, incredible. And I was like, I think I died.
Nice.
And basically, I met him at the VMAs after. And then, I don't know. After that, I feel like we've just became friends, and I have gone to see his show a couple times, and we had just been pen palling, like we
nice.
Just like, we're just like email buddies, because he's always traveling around the world, and you know he's so busy, and we're never in the same place at the same time, but we're always like writing each other like what's going on in our lives, and he's like, how's the album going? And he's like, oh, like just heard whatever, so proud of you, like go freaking. Spread your wings.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah,
he's
seems
so
like,
sweet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, I don't know, I just love him so much.
Yeah.
He really cares about people.
Yeah, it comes across. It comes
across
like Ed seems to like be almost like, he's so young, but he's almost like a mentor of everybody.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
He's always looking out for everyone who's coming
well, I think
through.
To him, it's more than just kind of a music industry thing. And it's more than just seeing yourself as you and other artists are your competitors. Like, I feel like he really cares about people, and you know, me being, you know, kind of a new artist, and him knowing that I have been such a huge fan of his, for him to just kind of be like super supportive of me along the way and also to collaborate with me on this song. He basically, we had been pen palling for a while. He's like, how's your album going? And he basically sent me the song that he wrote with me in mind.
Nice.
And I basically was like, oh my God, love it. At the time it was called Care About Me. And I went in with Steve Mack, who produced it, and Ed was probably, you know, taking over the world somewhere.
Yeah.
And I basically changed some of the lyrics to just make it, to just personalize it, because I had been through a situation like that before, where you love a boy, but it's clear that he's just playing games.
Oh, man.
And it's called The Boy, and it has this, like, James Brown funky vibe. And
oh, nice. I like the sound of that immediately. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Bringing in the funk.
So that was my hour rant about Ed Sheeran. Not rant, but, love speech.
We've all got to get our feels out whenever the topic of Ed comes up. You know that. It's an important subject. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, as well as being, like, obviously known as an amazing singer, the other thing I think people on the internet particularly love about you is that you're a massive One Direction fan.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, like, have you had a chance to listen to the Harry Styles album yet?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I loved it. I think it's so cool that he's doing his own thing, and that he has carved out his own lane. And I think that it was really, I think it was a really bold risk. And I think that it's really cool. And I always love, you know, I love when I see an artist just kind of do what they want to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? As opposed to listen to what they think everybody wants from them, or what they think is going to be successful, what they think is going to work. Because there's really nothing more satisfying than making the music that you want to hear and the music that you want to make. And you can tell that with him, that he just, like, loves what he's doing.
It's sincere, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think that that's really cool.
I'm going to press you. Do you have a favorite, though, of the solo 1D stuff that's come out? Do you have a favorite record or a favorite song?
I think all of it is so different. Like, they all have their own, they all have their own thing going on. It's actually crazy. Like, they literally all have their own thing going on. It's really cool.
Nice. Yeah. We're big Slow Hands fans here. Yeah, I think we love them all.
I love Niall. I love Slow Hands. And I love the first one that he came out with.
This Town.
Yeah. That is such a beautiful song.
Oh, it's so good. It's nice to see them all do well, isn't it? Well, coming up from Camila Cabello in just 1 second. But guys, if you're enjoying this week's episode, and we hope you are, why don't you go and hit subscribe over on iTunes, over on SoundCloud, over on Audioboom, and you can catch up with all the previous episodes while you're there. Like, for example, just last week, we had the stars of the new film, The Mummy, Jake Johnson and Annabelle Wallace in. So go listen to that and all our previous episodes wherever you find your podcast. Now, coming up, some fan questions for Camila Cabello. As you may have noticed when you came in, a lot of fans waiting outside for you, a lot of fans hopping around, which is all very sweet.
I love them.
So we thought we'd go down and see the questions that they wanted to ask you, all right? So I have some fan questions. In a segment we like to call They Have Questions. You see what we did there? Okay, so we have the first one here.
That is funny. Can we take a moment to appreciate that?
Well done.
Good.
Great, guys. I mean, we're fans of a pun. Strong or weak pun, it always works. So first up, they were all asking, when is the tour happening? Is the tour happening? When would it be happening?
Hey, Camila, it's Emily.
It's Chloe.
It's Lauren.
And we want to know when the tour is. We love you.
Bye!
It's in the works.
Awesome.
But when it happens, it's going to go down.
Amazing.
But I'm definitely, I mean, I feel like, so the album's coming out in September, but I'm still going to release music between now and September. And the tour, I don't know specifically when it's going to be, but I'm definitely going to be traveling and doing stuff like this in the meantime. So it's not like until the tour happens, I'm not going to go to, you know, Brazil or Spain or wherever. Like, I'm still, or Mexico, like, I still am going to go.
Sure. But it's in the planning stages. You've got, it's coming, it's coming, it's
definitely
all cooking.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's exciting stuff. All right, next up, the next question they had was,
Hi, Camila. It's Faye.
It's Aisha.
It's Sean.
Julia.
Kira.
And Gabi.
And we wanted to know,
if you were to describe the album in 3 emojis, which emojis would it be and why?
I'm going to say a teardrop.
Nice.
I'm going to come up with one for the hurting, the healing.
Yeah, it's clever. It does lend itself well to this.
Yes, it does. That's actually why. I just based it all off of the emojis. The hurting, I think, would be the teardrop.
Okay.
The healing, I think, would be the, you know, the little twinkle one that's like a little star.
Oh, yeah. Little starburst.
I always think of that as just like fairy dust. Like very like,
lovely.
It's very like,
yeah, that's nice.
And the loving, I would say the flamenco girl.
Oh, yeah. Very good choice.
I'm flamenco girl AF right yeah. now.
Current mood, flamenco girl. It works well. And then lastly...
Hi, Camila, it's Jade. My question for you is, if you had a theme song for your life, what would you pick?
So I guess this could be one of your songs or any song. A theme song for your life. What would you pick? It's a big question,
Ryan
that,
Dirty
isn't it?
By Chamillionaire.
Which one's right? Ryan Dirty. Man. Yes, I like that.
Rolling,
yes, I think that should be the theme song for everyone's life.
I was literally 2 years old when I was singing all the words of that song. I don't even know what they mean.
It's an anthem. You just want to be in a car at all times, just bouncing.
I want to hear that on your album. Let's make
Ride and Dirty. Ride and Dirty.
The cover that never was. Oh my God. This is we're going to demand it now. There's going to be petitions online for that. Camila Cabello, everybody. There she is. What a fun guest. What a joy and a pleasure. And that's about it for this week, guys. Just time to very quickly check in with DJ Woody in the corner. Do you have a appropriate banger of the week we can all go and enjoy this week, Woody?
We do.
Oh, good.
We have a song from Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, yes.
She's back. Well, kind of back. Yeah, it's a one-off.
She never left. Excuse me. She never left.
She never left.
Okay, the Queen has returned. What's she returned with?
Yeah, Cut to the Feeling. A lovely 80s slice of power pop goodness.
Good
yeah,
to hear.
It's great. It's actually for a film.
Yeah.
Which was released in December.
It was a ballerina?
Ballerina.
Right, okay.
But they've only just got around to releasing it.
Hey, big song. We'll take that chorus wherever we can. Sure. Big summer bang. All right, well, you can listen to that actually right now on Pop Buzz Radio. Just go on the website, popbuzz.co.uk, and click in the top right-hand corner. We will see you next week, guys. That is it. We'll be back with more guests, more news, and all that stuff. Until then, please do go and subscribe over on iTunes, over on Audio Boom, over on SoundCloud, and listen to all the previous episodes while you're there. We'll be back next week, but until then, it's goodbye from Katie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Woody. Say goodbye.
Ciao.
And it's goodbye from me. We will see you next week.